Thank God for giving us such a blessing. We have a good music team among us and help us to worship God. And today I'm going to share about disciple training again. But today's topic, I will focus on true disciples. Before we start, let us pray. Father, as we gather before you, we long to hear you. So speak to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine if you go to a zoo. Sometimes I watch a video. I saw an angry gorilla, or maybe a chimpanzee or something like that. When he got angry, he threw his poo towards the spectators. Imagine the young children learn something from this chimpanzee. So imagine when he's got angry, he threw, maybe not the poo, but he threw something at somebody. So the young child copied or learned his behavior from a beast. Imagine what would the father or the mother think. Being a father, when I saw my children learned, copied his behavior from someone he think maybe a movie star, maybe a singer, copy their hairstyle, copy how they dress, copy how they talk. Sometimes we like to imitate people. When I was young, I would imitate some movie star, martial artist, or some heroes. I wonder if you ever try to copy or imitate someone. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." So I wonder, are there anyone imitating someone in your mind, your idol? I want to copy him. I want to be look like him. Back in my old days, my sister's copy. There's a movie star. She got beautiful hair like that. And throughout that, and when you walk on the street, many girls change their hair into a wavy hair just like that movie stars. They all want to copy to be looked like that beautiful movie stars. Similarly, we like to copy. We like to copy someone. But what do God think? What would a father think if we want to copy someone which is not good? If I see my child copy the behavior of the chimpanzee, I think, oh, it's funny. But later on, if he's keep on throwing things like that, no, it's wrong behavior. I will feel very sad. So if you copy the wrong from the wrong people, how would God think? I think when God sees us, that we want to copy Christ, that would be a joy in his heart. Now, finally, you find the right person to copy. Have you ever copied anyone? Once I realized a young brother copied my way of talking. You know, sometimes when I talk, I move my hands. And one day, he right in front of my eyes, he copied me. Oh, I know you're copying me. It's funny, but later on, it's very odd. You are not being you yourself. You are copying me. So in God's eye, who are you copying? Copying someone, it might not be genuine. There are many impersonators trying to talk or to behave like some great people. Sometimes in ministry, when you are in Christian circle, we try to copy someone as well. Mimicking. Oh, that's how he do the song leading. I can do that. Sometimes I'll give some advice to some song leaders. Ah, when you do this, you can say something about this. You can read out. I give them some hint how to do it. So very soon, if they really follow my advice, you may feel that, oh, they are doing it just like maybe Brother Paul. You learn the skill, you may learn the technique, you may learn how to talk in a certain way. You are copying the style. You may copy the technique. You may copy the ways how people serve God. Outwardly, it seems the same. If you go to some school or some course, they may teach you how to deal with people. If you have certain customer coming in, very troublesome customer, they teach you how to handle all this troublesome customer. They teach you the technique. Maybe you have to greet them, you have to smile, you have to never say no to them. Customers are always right. People teach you the skill. People teach you the technique. But is that the way to imitate? You may be a totally different person. Even if you learn the skill, which is not from deep from your life, from your heart, you may be just like an actor. Or another way, just like in the Greek custom or in the tradition, the people performing arts, or they wear a mask, a hypocrite. You are playing someone else, which is not truly you yourself. You are not being genuine. You are a totally different person. So when we talk about imitate Christ, actually, the word imitate comes from mimic, this word, Latin word or Greek word, mimic, which means can in some other places translate as followers. If we being disciples of Christ, we want to follow Christ, but not the outward way. Not how he dressed, not how he talked, but his life. So actually, Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, talk about true disciples. Jesus warned us when we want to follow him. Take heed, so pay attention. If you want to be followers of Christ, if you want to be men like Christ, the true man that pleases God, the man that is in God's heart, if you want to live like a man, a true man that is after God's heart, if you don't want to live like a beast, behave like a man, walk like a man, then learn from Christ. How did he live before God? So Jesus is teaching us, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Why? Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So in Jesus' heart, when he do all these good deeds, it's not before men to be seen by them. So being true disciples, the first lesson is you are not doing it, you are not seeking appreciation or praises from men. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as a hypocrite. That's the actor. Do in the synagogues and in the streets that they may have glory from men. So true disciples, what are they? They are not seeking glory from men. So when you come to play keyboards, playing violin, when you're serving there as AV team, or when you do other service at home, even though you are cooking, you are studying. You are studying not for your glory, so I can get a good grade, so I can get success, so I can get praise from a teacher. Not for the glory from men, but you are doing good deeds. Why? To please Heavenly Father. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a good deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So being a disciple, we should have a sense, an awareness of Father who sees. So when you are studying at home, Father is watching you, not picking on you. What are you doing, you lazy one? No, Father's heart is caring, loving you. Just like your father, a father watching his son sitting there doing something. Father who sees. So when you are studying, even though when you are alone, when disciple, when you are alone, do you aware or are you aware God is there? We are living before him in his presence. You study in his presence. You talk to your friend in his presence. You listen to him. Do all things in his presence. When I'm driving, I can talk to him. When I'm talking to my friend, I know he's there listening. When I use wrong words, he knows. Immediately, I know, oh, my father is not glorifying God. He's listening to every conversation you have. So being a true disciple is not living among men. He is living before God. This is what you have to experience and know. Knowing that he's always there, knowing that he's watching you. And when you pray, now good deeds is one thing. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Again, Jesus again and again condemns hypocrites, which is most easy for us to behave like hypocrites. So you tell your friends, I go to church, and you come to church, but after church, I don't know how you live. How do you speak? What is in your mind? When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. You want people to, oh, they are spiritual. Hey, when you come early, you see a group of Christians praying on that corner. Oh, we are spiritual. Therefore, we pray there. So if you have such in your heart, something wrong. We separate ourselves to have a clear, better focus on praying to God. Not to showing people we are spiritual, but we are seeking God's help urgently. So not to be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their rewards. So true disciple is not seeking rewards from men, but they are doing all things just to please God. So remember just now what we have seen, hypocrites. We don't want to be hypocrites. We are not living before men. So this is, when you look at the Bible, further down in Matthew 6:16, another thing. So when doing good deeds, or when you pray, or when you fast, it seems these are all religious activity. But so easy, when we are doing all this, we behave like hypocrites, seeking attention, seeking appreciation from people, praises from people. These hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Surely, I say to you, they have their rewards. So easy we want to act as if we are spiritual. Are you genuine? Or are you seeking appreciation, appearance, to live before men? And when you look at further down in Matthew, there's a whole chapter talking about woes to the Pharisees. So there is no other company, no other group of people that Jesus condemned so severely, especially towards the scribes and Pharisees. Woe to them, woe to them, woe to them. Why? Because these are not genuine. God wants genuine believers. If you want to follow Jesus, be genuine. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. It talks about when we are hypocrites, we pay attention to the wrong thing. We neglected the weightier matters. That means something are more important. And we focus on something else to please other people. I think of one example. Recently, I heard a message on the internet. The speaker was a famous person. He was very educated. He was a professor. And he studied from a very famous professor in China. And well, after his talk for 30 minutes, then I realized, he's a very learned man. He has all this knowledge about philosophy. And he has all this achievement. And not only talking about his achievement, he also talked about how he turned to Christ. And even before that, he has such spiritual experiences. He said when he meditates, his soul can come out of his body and look back on his body, physical body. So he studies Hinduism or something like that. And after that, he talked about his relationship with another famous speaker, preacher. So after all this, his knowledge in Hebrew and all this, wow, after he talked for 30 minutes, all I can think of about it, he is such a special, knowledgeable man. But what did I learn from him? What did I learn about God himself? What did I learn about Christ? Nothing I can think of. But I'm sure impressed by him. So later on, I felt that he has shown me something, his knowledge. He has shown me his achievement. He has shown me he's great, but without showing me a message from God. So often, he's such has a high reputation among Chinese Christian circle in Hong Kong. But now I have some reservation. Do I live like that? Do I show people my knowledge or my experiences without letting people hear about God himself? I ask myself, what am I showing to other people? When people look at me, do they see what is heavy in my life? Is God important in my life? Or my achievement in my life? When we follow Christ, what are you showing other people? And there's another woe. Actually, if you study Matthew chapter 23, there are seven woes regarding especially to the scribes and Pharisees. Woe is an expression of grief. Oh no, something like this. Oh no, scribes and Pharisees, you are hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. So, are you someone cleansed on the outside? You may dress like a beautiful clothing. When many people look at you, you look at the mirror, you look good, you look great, people admire you. But what is inside in your heart? God knows. What is inside in your mind? God knows. What do you do in secret? What do you do when you are alone in your room? Only you know. So all these secret thoughts, or maybe bad habits or addiction, maybe no one knows. But true disciples, when he lives before God, he needs to take care of this inside issue. When you are proud, when you are jealous, when you are angry with someone, when you're in your mind there are filthy thoughts, languages, you may not be swearing outside, but maybe deep in your heart, you are cursing people inside. What is in your heart? God knows, and God sees what is inside. So hypocrites just care about the outside, but disciples, true disciples, when he lived before God, God will point out, hey, what was in your mind? Hey, this secret sin, remember how David plotted adultery? How David plotted about murder? And then God sent Prophet Nathan, and he talked to David, telling your story, and later on, you are that man. It would be a shock. I thought I've done this in secret. I thought no one knows. I thought God doesn't care. Actually, he knows. And one day, at a certain time, he will tell you, this is wrong. When he condemns us, it's not unmercy condemnation. He wants us to repent and turn back to him. It doesn't mean that true disciples don't make mistakes. Peter, following the Lord, he makes mistakes. Disciples make mistakes. Sometimes the Lord rebuke them. So when you are even you are true disciples, when you follow the Lord, yes, he will point out the sin in our life, the secret sin in our life. He will point it out to you. And if you are true disciples, you will repent and turn back to him. If you are not, you just keep going on as if nothing happened. This is woe to us. Oh no. Oh no. I hope God won't say to you, oh no, you are still like this. Or say, oh yes, come back to me. In Matthew 23:27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. It's again on the outward thing. So in another way, not true disciples not only care about what's inside, and true disciples have to be careful not to just thinking, focus on how to appear beautiful outwardly. Sometimes if I ask you, hey, when we come to before the Lord in the Lord's table, we should give offer our thanks. We should praise God, isn't it? Why do you come to the Lord's table? To remember what He has done. If He has done a great thing, what would you do? You give thanks. You praise Him, isn't it? When someone gives you something nice, what would you say? Thank you. Yeah, so simple. When God has done something good for you, thank you, God. You respond. You give thanks. It's natural. But you may say, oh, I couldn't pray well. I couldn't share well. If I can, I'm going to be baptized. I can't share. I don't know how to speak good English. If you worry about, you can speak beautiful English before men, you are focusing on the outward. So, not only we pay too much attention on the outward, we forget about the inward. But not just on the inward, but be careful, if we focus too much on the outward, we neglect what we should do. So what can we do? If you realize you are not that, if I pray, people will notice my English is not good. I better not pray. No. Then what should you do? If I pray, people will listen to me. What can I do? So, if you are a true disciple, what would you do? If you realize your English is no good, if you realize, oh, I shouldn't be seeking praise from men. But what should I do? Should I pray or not? If I pray, people will, I can't help. People, how do they respond to me? I don't know. So if you are a true disciple, think about a person, Mary, the person Mary, when he offered the perfume to Christ, did he care about how people think about her? Hey, look, Mary coming in. Oh, he's got a big vase, beautiful vase. Oh, he has broken the vase. Silly girl. Why would she do that? People will say all lots of things. What a waste. She can hear, but all in her mind is focusing on one thing. I want to put this on his head. I want to give my perfume to Jesus. She doesn't care about the others. These are the true disciples. When you serve, you don't care about, oh, do they like my sharing? Do they like my prayer? Do they like my singing? Or should I sing or not? Preach or not? Say something or not? If you keep on thinking about, do I do this, do this, do this? How, what would people, they like it or they don't like it? I don't care about what people respond. But when you serve, you just focus on Jesus himself. When you see the bread, when you see the cup, Lord, I thank you for saving me. It's that simple. Because you are expressing your gratefulness to him. Just like when I give you something, thank you. Yes, you don't care about others. What do they think? But this is your response to the one who gave you something, isn't it? So one way of delivering us from the temptation of living before men is to tune as if your eyes just focus. You know, sometimes you need to focus. Out of focus, everything becomes blurred. It doesn't matter that much when we focus on serving God. So whenever I come to serve, Lord, I do this to please you. What do you want to say to the people sitting there? Lord, what do you want to tell them? So I'm not thinking about how you appreciate me, how I make mistakes in my sermon, how do I make mistakes in my English. I'm focusing on what do you want me to tell the people who wants to listen to you. So I'm focusing on what God wants. Not what you want or not what I want. True disciples only care about one thing, focusing on pleasing the Master. Make it very simple. And don't think, oh, I've been doing this, I'm a good disciple. Oh, are you a good disciple? Yeah, I play the keyboard. I sing the song. I pray in the corner. That makes me a good disciple. Not just the outward activity. God never wants just the outward good deeds to cover our sin. In 1 Samuel, it talks about how Saul disobeyed God. So Samuel said to Saul, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? I have done good things, burnt offerings. Has the Lord as great delight in singing, serving, doing good things for the Lord and sacrifices? I sacrifice my time. I sacrifice something for the Lord. But I did not obey God. No, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." So often we do something good to pay the price as if we don't need to listen to you. God, you want me to do this? No, I don't want to do this. Let me do this to instead. Do this? No, I'd rather do that. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. I can give you this, Lord, I can give you this, but don't ask me to do that. I can give you money, I can give you time, but don't ask me to read the Bible. I can do the chores, I can clean the rooms, I can even pray in the corner, but don't ask me to say sorry to my sister. I can do this, I can do this, I can read the Bible, but don't ask me to give up my games. So often we like to make deals to God, make a bargain to God. I can do this, sacrifice, rams. But the Lord say, to obey is more important than sacrifice. Can you hear God? Can you hear the voice of the Lord in your life? If you are living before Him, you can hear. No, you shouldn't say that. No, you should stop playing that game. You have been playing for such a long time. You are addicted to it. Drop it. Stop it. Maybe it's the time for you to do that. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now, when I say this, some of you may, that's me, you're talking about me. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass you. We all, at some stage, have some bondage in our life. When God points out that, He's not condemning us. He's wanting to set us free from that. He wants to make our life better, but not just to make our life miserable. Okay? So being a disciple, when God points to something, He speaks to you in a voice telling you to lay down something, put down something, do this. It's not to damage us, to harm us, but to build us up, give us hope. Give us new life. In Isaiah, God says something. Because at that time, people worship, make a lot of offering. They think when they offer, make offering as continue weeks by weeks, day by day, make offerings on the altar, then they can sin I offer the rams so that I can sin. I offer the bull so that I can live in sin. And the Lord knows. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice to me, says the Lord? I have had enough. I don't want this. I don't care. Don't try to buy me with these so-called offerings of rams and the fat of fat cattle. I do not delight in the blood of the bulls or of lambs of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the meetings, and the callings of the assemblies, the gathering, the Sunday meeting. Weeks by weeks you come. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. If you live a secret life of sinning from Monday to Saturday and Sunday, suddenly you turn to become saint. No. I'm sure God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to be a genuine Christian. If we live like that, people know that we are hypocrites. So your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. So you think you are all these special dates to honor God, they are a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Yes, I pray to God. I pray to God when you raise your hand full of blood. Wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. True disciple will cease to do evil when God points out to you. So when we follow God, God will point out all our weaknesses. Not all immediately, but now you need to change this. Now you need to change your way of behavior. Now you need to change this habit. Maybe one by one by one, God will help us to learn and grow. But how do we respond to His call, to His voice? We need to put away the evil and cease to do the evil. So true disciples deal with what's inside, not outside. In the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, it says something very amazing. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors? In Chinese translation, the doors refer to the doors in the temple. That means God says, now, Israelites, I'm so disappointed with you. Shut down the meeting. No more Sunday meeting. Close the door. Shut down. So that you will not be kindled fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. So how do we live our life? If we just have outward activity without the inward essence, without the inward reality, if we don't have the spiritual reality God wants, God will say, close the door. No more meeting. I have no pleasure in you. Wow, this is a very severe words. Very severe. So beware. If we want to be true disciples, again I say, we are not perfect. If you are already perfect, you don't have to learn. But because we have so many things we need to learn, God will point out one by one. Deal with this, deal with that, deal with this. Then we will find all the shackles, all the bondages, the world that has entangled us with all these pleasures, one by one we will be set free. then we can serve him. Remember Peter, when he came to serve the Lord, when something wrong, oh, I go back to my fishing life, all the fishing nets, fishing boats, my old life, all this are him maybe pulling him back. All your old life, all your habits may be pulling you, stopping you to move forward, to grow, to change, to be transformed, to be like Jesus. But God's trying to set us free. He speaks to us. And if we respond, we change, we're getting to be more and more like him. The ungodly, in Psalm, it says, are not so, for they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Chaff is something like the wheat without the substance inside. It's just the shell, nothing inside. When God looks at you, is it the outward thing you're showing God? Just the outward thing? Is there the inward reality, inward substance in it? Are you genuine? Are you true disciples? Do you respond to him? Listen to him? Live before his presence? This is what we should care. How can we become true disciples? Just now I said, live before him, just like not appear before men, but in the live in his presence. We respond to him. He will speak to you day by day if we listen. If you open the Bible, he speaks to you. If you call on his name, he will speak to you. In John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, God's words will come to you. So that's why disciples always live in his presence and listen to our master. Listen to his words. The Holy Spirit may touch your hearts and speaks to you. And if you respond and keep them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So if you are doing something wrong, God is telling you, you respond, oh, this is wrong. You turn back to him, you have his commandments and keeps them. And you, when you turn back to him, it shows your love to him. And he will manifest himself to you. He will be more close to you. How do you respond to him? Further down in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, always live in a good relationship with him. And then your life will be changed and bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So disciples are someone that be corrected by our Lord Jesus every day. So we shed all these shackles of life, sin that entangle us, all the bad habits that drag us down. By his words, we clear all this, cleanse ourselves, and then we can abide in him and follow him. And your life will be changed. You put down your hatred, you put down your anger, and then you put on God's grace, put on God's mercy and forgiveness, and your life will change. Not outwardly, we are friends, but inwardly you still hate that person. But when you deal with the inner anger or hate, you put on the real forgiveness. We put on the grace and love of God, then something come out from you is genuine. When you talk to that person, it shows love. It's not a skill you learn from some courses of life. Oh, I need to talk to person with a politeness, kindness. No, not just the skill or technique, but your life being changed inside by God himself. So may God help us to live a life before Him. Live in His presence. Think about how Jesus lived in God's presence. Think about our life. Are we so worried about how people look at you? An obvious thing is if I ask you to come out and pray or speak to people, then you'll be so nervous. What do they think about me? How can I make my speech beautiful? How can I make my sharing spiritual? You think so much about yourself. Think so much about how to please people. But again, true disciple is caring about, God, what do you want me to say to these people? So when I ask the song leader, song leading next week, I always tell them, go and ask the Lord. What does He want you to speak to the people? How can you help and encourage people? So it's about you and the Lord. The Lord teach you to serve. Not how good you can serve, how you think, not how good your mind, how your skill, how to talk to people. Not coming from here when you are serving. When you're serving, come from there. God teaches you how to speak. God teaches you how to play the keyboard. God teaches you how to encourage people. So it must be from Him to the people. From Him to serve. Not from here to there, but from there, come down and to there. Just like, remember, in the five loaves of bread and two fish, where do the disciples, how can they feed the people? Oh, they receive it from the Lord. Fish, fish. Bread, bread. Fish, fish. Oh, how come you have so many? Because I take it from the Lord. The Lord gave it to me, I can give it to you. It's not out of my pocket I can give. Not out of my pocket I can give you bread or fish. Not out of my pocket that I can serve. But the Lord gave it to me so that I can give it to you. This is the secret of discipleship. A relationship with the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Deliver us from hypocrisy. We pray that we learn how to live before you, not pleasing men, not to seek glory from men, but to seek to do God's will. We know that there are many areas in our life that needs you to correct us, to teach us. We pray that we'll be genuine and respond to your rebuke and correction. Let us learn before you. Change our life, Lord, to be more like Jesus, to please the Father in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.